Hello, and welcome to Fireborn Inspirations Fireside Chats, hosted by Reverend Jane Babbage, where we share valuable information, revelation, inspiration, and educational words of wisdom. It is our desire to help you get a greater understanding of today's challenges and opportunities while embracing the realities of tomorrow, so that you can choose to press through the fires of life with purpose. Now here's your host, Reverend Jane Babbage.
Welcome to Fireborn Fireside Chat. Today we are blessed to have an interview with Dr. Audrey Akins. And the subject that we're going to cover is a subject that I think will really help everybody understand how God moves better. The name of her subject today is God Sees and Provides for Worthy Hearts. Dr. Akins, welcome today.
Thank you. I really am excited about this particular teaching because I think it touches every gamut of those that are striving to serve the Lord and understand how He is and the relationship that He has with those that He's called to either be His agents, those He sees, views as His people. You know, the thing that we need to understand is we judge one another by outward appearances, by our accomplishments or our abilities, but God says He sees the heart. That's what He's concerned with. And the word says that He shows Himself strong on behalf of those who have hearts that are perfect towards Him. So that's what this study is based on. To give you an overview, I'm just going to really do what I call apostle phrasing, or it's like you're paraphrasing, taking the scripture and kind of telling you the story that's behind it and reading it, that scripture to you.
Let me ask you a little bit about that apostle phrasing.
Yes.
My understanding is that sometimes you use multiple versions
right.
of the word,
right.
somewhat like the Amplified
yes.
does,
yes.
and you make it so that the person that may not be the biblical scholar
right.
can better understand the essence of that scripture,
right.
not taking away from the integrity of the scripture,
right.
but making it so that it's better understandable and applicable to our lives. Am I correct on that?
You're correct. It's sort of like the message.
Yes.
You know, the way the message is presented, and so that even children can understand what the scripture is saying. So I'm not saying anything. I put things in everyday vernacular, but it's still the scripture. It's in there. It's like ragu. You know, they say
it's in there.
If you go back to the scripture and you read the ones that I give you, it's in there. So we're going to go through here with these five scriptures, because that's what this study is based on, these five scriptures. And I'm just going to go through them a little bit and give you an understanding of them.
Okay. Thank you. Let's hear what this is.
Okay. Our first scripture is Genesis 22:9-14. That's where the essence of this thought comes from. And it says, when God's chosen agent, and that's what Abraham was, when God's chosen agent, Abraham, and his only son, whom he loved dearly, Isaac, finally arrived at the place of sacrifice God directed him to go and present Isaac back to him as a burnt offering, Abraham, upon arriving, obediently built his altar. He laid out the wood in the required order. He bound Isaac, his only son and beloved. He laid him on that altar upon that ordered wood. He stretched forth his hand, even though he loved this boy with all his heart. And he was the only thing that he had that represented the promises of the Lord, the fruit of his vision. He prepared to slay him. Why? Because God asked him to. Is that the only reason why you would do that? You'd kill your only son? No, he did it because God asked him to, and he knew by experience that this God was able to bring him through whatever he brought him to. And so by knowing him by experience, he knew God would provide one way or another. And so he went to slay his son. And as he lifted his hand to do that, he heard this voice from heaven that he recognized as the angel of the Lord. And that voice said, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. And the angel of the Lord said, no, lay no hand upon that lad. Don't do anything further to him, for your heart has revealed how you truly are filled with that filial fear of the Lord, in that you have not withheld even your only son, which you love so dearly, from me. You'll learn, as I teach, that there's two kinds of fears of the Lord. There's a filial fear of the Lord, which is having a son's fear, you know, the fear that you have of your father, which is awe and respect and a desire to please him. That's a filial fear of the Lord. And then there are those that have a servile fear of the Lord, which is a servant's fear. You don't know him intimately as a father. You serve him as the God that'll strike you dead if you don't do right. So Abraham, as God's agent, knew that this God had called him out of nothing and had given him a son where he had no way of having a son, was Abba, was a father to him. And so he obeyed him as such. Anyway, as he heard the angel of the Lord say that, Abraham looked up then from his son who he was about to slay. And when he looked up, he saw that there was a ram caught in the thicket thorns by his horns, and realized this ram had been there all the time. And so since the Lord said, don't slay your son, but he still required that offering, he went and he took that ram, which he saw as God's hidden provision that had been there all the time, and he slayed him. And he called that place where that altar where he built, that place where God revealed himself to him, even though it was the very last moment, even though it had to make his heart feel overwhelmed with, oh my God, I'm giving up my son that I love, but I love God more. I trust God more. And as he did, he called that place Jehovah Jireh. Now, the word says that he called it Jehovah Jireh because he declared that it was upon that mountain that God's provision was seen. But as I go into the teaching, I break down what Jehovah Jireh really means. And to put it short, it means God has seen, or as God has seen, God provides. That's what Jehovah Jireh means. As God sees, he provides. Or as God has seen, he provided. Okay? And then so that's the scripture that I use in talking about how God sees his agents, how he provides for those that are his individual agents. Then
well, before you even go on to the next scripture, let's stop here for a minute.
Okay.
Just in that one scripture, mm-hmm. we can see the whole display of your title.
Oh, yeah.
Where it is that God sees mm-hmm. and provides for worthy hearts. Abraham was a worthy heart because he made that choice.
Okay. But also what is defined or revealed in the teaching is that God sees everything. He also saw the fact that Abraham loved Isaac so much that there's a danger there. When the enemy knows how much you love something or someone, he tries to make it seem like you'll put that before God.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes God has to stir us up, to let us know, yeah, but I still choose to obey God. You understand? So even in that seeing, so providing, he sees sometimes what's in our heart, or he sees our weakness, and he knows that in order to strengthen us in that weakness, he has to allow the enemy to buffet us a little bit. you know, take us through some changes a little bit so that we come to the place where, like Paul, you cry out and God says, but my grace is sufficient. You understand?
Yep.
So that's the provision. Grace is always that provision. And that was what was exemplified there. That ram was God's grace. That voice that Abraham heard was God's grace, right? And that obedience brought him that peace that no one could ever take away from him again, because he realized in this place, even though it took him to the end of himself, because he was obedient, God's provision was seen. We're going to learn that God's provision is often not seen by us in the natural till after. Mm-hmm. You know, it's afterwards. You know how we say hindsight is 20/20? You know, you get over a thing and then you look back and say, oh my God, God was there all the time. Oh my God, that's why he allowed this to happen. You understand? Looking back in the afterwards is where God shows his hand.
Excellent. Now let's just talk about the fear you talked about, the servile fear.
Fear of the Lord.
Right. Yeah. Do you think everybody that begins to have a relationship with the Lord starts in that place?
No. Everybody starts in the place of a servile fear of
right.
the Lord. That's the servant's right. fear. You know, I fear God because if I don't, I'm going to go to hell. Or I'm going
right.
to, you know, a lot of people bring people into the kingdom. They scare them into the kingdom.
Yes.
But that's not what Jesus was about. Jesus was love, and perfect love casts out all fear. And the basis of the things that we do in sin or in disobedience or in deception or whatever, everything is based in fear. It's based in fear and in lies, mm-hmm. okay? Those are the things that form the basis of things that God does not like. But we have to learn God. We have to learn how to draw nigh to him. The word says, as I draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to me. So as the closer I come to God, the more I learn of him, the fear changes. And I begin to see myself as not just his servant, but his child. You understand? When we begin to realize and see God as not just God, but Abba Father, then that relationship changes. That fear of the Lord changes. I don't serve him because I have to. I serve him because I want to, because I love him. I want him to be pleased with me. That's the relationship you have with a father. And sadly, many of us in this world don't have good relationships with our fathers. And so we have to learn God is faithful. We have to learn that he'll always provide. We have to learn
that
he'll always
comfort. Because our natural example may not have
been
that. Because
our natural example, exactly.
But I do believe that even more, too, we don't think about, if I had a great natural father,
mm-hmm.
I may still have a difficulty relating to my heavenly father
mm-hmm.
because my natural father was so good to me,
yeah.
but in a limited natural way.
Yeah.
So I think both of it is the more we have a relationship with God, the more we can understand and move away from the servant sphere.
Exactly.
Now, I had one other thing in that scripture. You talk about agents.
Mm-hmm.
What's an agent?
An agent is someone that goes and represents somebody else. You know, you're that person, just like God says, he's a very present help in time of trouble. We now have been given the power to be the sons of God, right? As the sons of God in the earth, we have now been given that power to become that extension, that greater work than
yes.
these you shall do. We become that extension, those agents in the earth. The sons of God are the agents of
okay,
the
Lord. Okay, so that can kind of like be in parenthesis. Agent is son of God.
Right.
Okay, great. That makes it a little better to understand. Now, give us one more scripture that represents this teaching.
Let's talk about Joshua.
Okay.
Joshua 4, 23 through 24. And the Lord says, in it, the Lord your God, this is Joshua talking to the people,
okay.
right? He said, the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you safely passed over it. It is just as he did at the Red Sea, drying it up before us until we went over it on dry land. He did so for all the world to know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. And he also did it so that we, his people, might understand and therefore have a healthy or filial fear of the Lord as our God forever. So what that says to you is we've got to get to the place where we do not forget about the hand of the Lord, because his hand is so mighty and he shows it time after time after time. It's always in his provision. When we're standing there saying, oh my God, I can't go across. The Jordan is overflowing. And God causes the waters to back up and stand up in a heap and allow you to go through. God is saying, when the hand of the Lord is with you, what can be against you? You know, same thing with God. If God be for me, who can be against me? So we're learning that his hand is what provides. And I can always trust, even if I don't see that hand, that his hand is always there. And notice it doesn't say the hands of the Lord. The hand of the Lord. That represents his authority, his might, his sovereignty. The word says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all them that dwell therein are his. Therefore, when his hand moves, there's nothing that can stop us, right? So he said that to them as the people. So what I give you the example of how he worked for that agent, who was Abraham, who he knew from his beginning to his end, right? And still, though he had weaknesses, though he messed up, yet God considered him to be worthy. He had a heart after his. Same thing with his people. When Joshua was talking to the people, they had messed up. They had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness because of their disobedience and their unbelief. Yet God still considered them to be his people, and that they were worthy. He saw their hearts were still towards his, and so he provided for them every time. Even when Balak wanted to hire Balaam to go and curse the people for him, God said, am I a man that I should lie, or the son of man that I should repent? Have I not said, and shall I not do it? Have I not spoken, and shall it not come to pass? In other words, I'm not cursing these people. He spoke that through Balaam, who was a prophet for hire, if you will. But God can use anybody to say what it is that he wants to say, because he has to use a voice you'll listen to.
Yes, that's very important. And the idea of when you speak about God's hand, it's you see a picture in your brain when you see it. And it's almost like I think about when you have a child and you want to hand that child something and you want them to know that it's okay to take it. You make eye contact with that child. You extend your hand and your eye in the same direction. And then that child is saying, okay, I'm to have this. This is for me. And it's kind of like I see that with God in this provision, that sometimes I think that we have to really recognize that he is extending himself to us. And in that provision, we have to not limit ourselves to the provision of this world.
Exactly.
And that's one of the things in the teaching that I think is very important. What is a way that we as his people can recognize this is from him? This is God's provision for me.
Well, the third scripture that we use is 2 Chronicles 16, 9, part A, which says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. So what we need to understand from that is, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what time it is, no matter what circumstantial evidence is going on, the Lord is seeking, ever seeking. His eyes are running. And the word said, run to and fro. They are running. They're quickly going everywhere at once, because God, being omnipotent, being omniscient, you understand, he's in all places at one time. He's not limited by the things we are, because he's a spirit, right? And so his eyes are running to and fro so that he can show himself to be strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. God says, no matter what's going on, I got you. Right? No matter what's going on, I got you.
That is so important too, that as you say, that it is that worthy heart. That if we have a worthy heart, we're looking for God. Because that's our know, that's who we know is going to be bringing the answer.
Right.
So and that's an important that part of the teacher.
In that definition.
Yes.
When I define the worthy heart or the or what it is that heart that's perfect towards God. It's defined as that worthy heart. You're worthy. You think worthily towards God. You do things that are worthy, you know, and he rewards that. You know, that grace is ever there for you. That provision is ever there for you. Ridiculous favor is ever there for you. Because God's not judging you on your mistakes. God's not judging you on your weakness. It's all about your heart.
Well, before we close today, what I want to do is for those that want to prepare to then hear the teaching that we're talking about, mm-hmm. give me that first scripture reference again.
Mm-hmm.
What is that first scripture
that
reference?
First scripture reference was Genesis 22, 9 through 14.
And give me the Joshua.
Joshua was Joshua 4, 23 through 24.
Okay.
And then the one that speaks about his eyes
yes.
running to and fro, that's 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. And in the teaching, I will give you the revelatory definition of a lot of those words that bring that concept home to you where we can make it life applicable. Because I end the teaching with the scriptures encapsulated in Matthew 10, 7 through 13, and Mark 3, 14 through 17. And I apostle phrase that and teach from that point. But it brings it home to us today that we can live this thing. That God's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? There's nothing new under the sun. The same way that God dealt with his agents back then with Abraham, which is at the beginning, is the same way that he deals with us today. God is alive. He's not dead. His word is not dead. It's rhema, the living word. It still speaks to us today. God still speaks to his people today. And God definitely sees and provides for his people today.
Amen. Well, thank you, Dr. Aikens, for coming and giving us a little bit of that teaching, which we know that everyone needs in our life today and will enjoy. Thank you very much for listening today. And before we leave, I want you to understand that with Dr. Aikens, she does what's called revelatory definitions. And they are truly taking the scripture and taking words that can impact your life, make your life be more applicable to and with the word. And it's mixed with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will sit with her and give her how to break that definition down to be understandable and applicable to every life that is seeking the Lord, even as we heard today, with a worthy heart. Thank you very much. We look forward to the next time that we sit at Fireborn Fireside Chats. Be blessed.
This concludes today's session of Fireside Chats. For more information or to contact us, log on to fireborninspirations.com or follow us at Fireborn Inspirations on Instagram. Until next time, be encouraged and inspired to keep pressing through the fires of life with purpose. This segment is produced by Creative Impact LLC with all rights reserved.